Brother Ryan Overfelt is going to come and preach for us in just a moment, so I encourage you to go ahead and grab your Bibles and be ready. But before he comes, the Furans are going to come and sing for us tonight, so y'all come.
The song we're going to sing tonight is actually written in honor of a famous person in Irish history. His name was Patrick, and Patrick was not Irish, and Patrick was not Catholic. Patrick was born in Britain, and he got kidnapped by Irish pirates in the 5th century AD. He got taken to Ireland and enslaved. He escaped, but he decided to go back, because he felt as if God wanted him to be a missionary and tell them about the gospel. When he got back the first Easter he was there in April, the pagan Gaelic king of the land, he declared a week of darkness. He said, there is going to be no darkness. We're going to worship the darkness. And Patrick, what he did, he went to the top of the highest hill he could find on Easter day. And he wanted people to know that even when there is no vision, that with God's word, that happy is he when he have God's word. He declared the gospel, and he lit a huge bonfire, a light that everybody could see. And even in a dark time, there's light in the darkness. We're going to sing the song, Be Thou My Vision.
Been stirred yet tonight? If it hasn't, you need to hit the rewind button and just start the service over, amen, and say, dear Lord, help me. And my heart's been stirred and touched, and I'm just thankful for that already, and humbled by it. And thankful to the Lord. Amen. And I certainly don't want to get in the way of it. Amen. And it's an honor. I thank you again, church, for allowing us to be here. It's an honor to have the opportunity to open the Word of God and to try to share it with you. And I just want to echo a little bit of what Brother Stark already said. I just want to brag on God. Don't we serve a wonderful God? Isn't He good? And just our hearts are sometimes overwhelmed by the goodness and the presence and the power and the grace of God. And sometimes as a preacher, it's hard to put it into words what your heart feels and the joy that the Holy Ghost of God brings. And I'm just sort of in one of those places tonight, and I hope you are too. And if you're not, you can get there. Amen. God wants you to have it as much as He wants His preachers to have it. And it's just a matter of just yielding your heart to Him and being right where He wants you to be. Amen. So thankful for that. Thank you, Brother Stark, for sharing your heart and your testimony with us. What a blessing. And encouraging and challenging. Amen. I couldn't help but think, while he was speaking there toward the end, he was talking about all the different things that the Lord is doing and using them to help with in Rwanda and in Uganda, and what they've been doing for 32 years. And I thought of Ephesians chapter 3, where the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages." What a truth. And it's just amazing what God can do if we'll just put ourselves in His hands. Amen. All right. Well, that's sermon number one. You ready for number two? Amen. Ezekiel chapter number 22, please, if you have your Bible there. Ezekiel chapter number 22. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 23, Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 23. I'd like to ask you, if you are able, if you would stand with me, please, out of respect to the reading of the text of the Lord's Word tonight. Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse number 23. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," and that's where it all starts, with the word of God. Amen. "Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion, ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Let's go back to the familiar verse of this text in verse number 30. We'll read that again. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Let's go to the Lord in prayer together, and then you may be seated after that. God, thank you. Lord, our hearts have already been stirred by your power and your goodness tonight through the music and the singing and through the missionary presentation and through all that's going on. You stirred our hearts yesterday throughout the services, and we thank you for that. And Lord, You are a wonderful God, and we want to give You all the glory and the praise. Thank You again for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross in our place and shed His blood to pay for our sin debt, was buried and rose again so we could have salvation, eternal life, a home in heaven. And God, thank You again for saving me. Lord, it is a privilege to serve You, and as we, Lord, look into the Word of God now, I ask and pray that You would get the honor and the glory through it all, and Lord, that You would, in all sincerity, hide me behind Your Word. May Jesus Christ have the preeminence. And Lord, I pray and ask that You would rebuke the adversary, that You would not allow him and his forces in any way to hinder what You're already doing here tonight. And that hearts would be stirred if there's someone here that's not saved, or someone listening by way of the internet broadcast that's not saved, that they'll see the truth of the gospel and their need of Jesus Christ tonight, and they'll be born again. And we'll praise You and thank You for that. Encourage those that are discouraged. Lord, call those to Thy work to whom You wish to call. And Lord, we'll thank You for it. I just ask You for clarity of thought and speech to give what You've given to me. And we'll thank You for it. Help us to obey You when the invitation comes. We pray it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. With the Lord's help tonight, I'd like to preach on this subject of who will make up the hedge. Who will make up the hedge? I know that sometimes when we come to missions conference or maybe missions emphasis Sunday, one of the first things that comes to mind is financial giving. We think about, man, missionaries need funds, and the missionaries here maybe need support or need funds, and we think about the financial end of it. But if that's all we see from missions conference, or if that's all we see from the missions emphasis when the pastor speaks about it, or when we have these times that we talk about worldwide gospel missions, if that's all you see from it, then you've really missed what God's plan is for missions. And financial giving is, it's an important part and it's an important role of it. And I've learned this, if you give God your heart, the financial part of it really comes pretty easily. Yes, amen. Yes, it's not a burden to give to God when you've already given God your heart and your life and everything else. It's just, okay, Lord. And you learn that God takes care of all those things. And He blesses you in it, and it's just a joy to watch Him work. But God is not just looking tonight for people to say, okay, I'll give extra this year to the missions program. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And if God puts that on your heart, then obey God and do it. Amen? Obey God and do it. But God is also looking for people tonight, just like He was in Ezekiel's day in Israel, who will come out and will say, Lord, I will make up the hedge. I will stand in the gap before You. Did you notice that in the text verse? And God said in verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before Me for the land. Years ago, I heard a message that Dr. Jack Hiles preached, and he brought that part of that verse out, and God smote my heart with that. And I thought, you know, we have a responsibility as Christians before God to serve our generation. God has a calling on our lives, and God has a calling for His children, and it's not just about maybe responding if the pastor needs another Sunday school teacher, or responding if we need another van driver, or responding if we need another nursery worker. Those are all good things, and God may call you to do that, but it's responding to God and saying, God, what would You have me do? And Lord, I'm responsible to You for what Your plan is for my life. And Lord, I'm going to have to give an account to You one day for how I live. So Lord, help me do my best for Your sake and for Your glory, not necessarily just for the sake of the church or just for the sake of the pastor or the pastor's wife because they asked, but God, because You want me to. And by the way, I just believe this. I believe if you're working in the nursery, you ought to be there because God put you there. Amen? Ladies? I feel a little weird about a guy that wants to work in the nursery. I have a little issue with that. Am I okay, Pastor, saying that? Thank you. Okay. I just figured, you know, I don't know Pastor Smart really, really well, but I've gotten the impression that, you know, he and I are on the same page on a lot of things. I figured he was okay with that. And so come see us after the service if you're a man and want interest. Anyway, we let that go. Now, we have a group of fellows that help take care of you. Now, amen. Preach on. All right, here we go. So, but you ought to be there because God puts you there. Amen. Hey, if you're working in the van ministry and going out and picking people up and bringing them to church, you ought to believe that that is God's calling on your life and God puts you there. No matter what you're doing in the church, you ought to be there because God puts you there. And because you have a, you want to stand in the gap before the Lord and be responsible before God in this day, in this place, in this time, in this hour. Boy, I know there's been a lot of complaining about 2020. And I've heard it already this year. Oh, I'm so glad 2020 is over. But can I say this to us tonight? God has us alive today in this time, in this place, for a purpose He has for each of us, even through 2019 and 2020 and 2021, and as long as the return of Christ and the rapture of the church does not happen, then God has a place for every one of us in this time, in this day, in this age, a place that He wants to use us to reach people in our community and in our time. And it's important. You and I cannot, we cannot crawl in a hole somewhere and say, oh, I just hope that Jesus comes back and rescues us from all this. We cannot take that attitude, church. We must take the attitude, if we ever needed to step on the gas and go forward and do something for God, let's do it now. Amen? Let's get busy and let's reach people for Christ. I think I said it yesterday in Sunday school, but I'm going to say it again. If people ever needed the peace of God like they've ever needed it in their life, they need it today. Amen? Hey, there is an open opportunity that God has given to His church and to His people in today's world in 2021. People hurting all over the place. People worried about dying. People worried about getting sick. People worried about what the future is going to be. People worried about the economy. People worried about wars and fightings and problems. And don't fall into the trap and say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Hey, get in and on board with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that's hurting and to a world that's dying and to a world that's seeking for something that will help them beyond what they know. People all over this world, people all over our communities looking for answers, looking for hope, looking for help. And there's gaps in the hedge. Not everybody's responding like they ought to. There's places, there's people here and there trying to reach people for Christ, but God says, I want to send an army forth. He said, I want the hedge to be complete. I want the gaps to be filled in. Hey, in Ezekiel's day, in this time, we read through it, verses 23 through 30. God is dealing with that through 29. God is dealing with some dark days in the history of Israel and what's going on. And in Ezekiel's day, in Jeremiah's day, judgment like Israel has never seen before is on the horizon. And friend, can I say this to you tonight? I believe we're seeing some judgment of God across our land on some things. And why not? We've told God we don't need you. We don't like you in our public buildings. We don't want you in our schools. We want to be okay with abortion. We want to be okay with blending all the genders together and they can be whatever they decide they want to say they want to be. Hello? And then we want God to still bless us whenever we just, you know, want to call out to Him if we want something. God doesn't work that way, friend. Hey, God is a righteous and a holy God, and He deserves to be honored and revered. He's not our butler that we just ring the bell and He comes and answers a need when we need it, and then we send Him on His way when we don't need Him. Amen? And so, Israel's living in some dark days. They're living in some dark times. And God is saying judgment is right here. It's at the door. And Ezekiel, I want you to know that I've looked up and down through the land. I, in my mercy and in my grace, have withheld the judgment. But He said, when I went about through the land, He said, I began to look at the priests and what they were doing. And they weren't honest and they weren't right with me. And they were doing things they shouldn't have been doing and things that were sinful and not honoring the office that they'd been given. He said, I looked at the politicians. He said, I looked at them and they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. He said, I looked at the prophets and they were just speaking of themselves and not really coming to me and saying, Lord, what would you have us say? Now, they were saying God said, but God didn't say. And boy, we can draw some parallels from that. We can see history repeating itself right here in our generation in the United States of America. We can look at it and say, man, there's corruption here. And there's preachers not preaching the Word of God, but they're telling people that they're okay. And hey, there's politicians and maybe doing things they shouldn't be doing. And boy, we can look around and it doesn't take long. Turn on Newsmax for 10 minutes. You'll find some things, amen, that you can say, whoa, man, there's some things going on that are not right. And God said, I looked through Israel and I looked through this time and He said, I saw in these different sections among the prophets and the priests and the princes to find someone who would be honest before God and who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. He said, I found none. Isn't that sad? One of the saddest statements of the Bible. I sought, God sought, and He said, I didn't find them, Ezekiel. So that's why I'm sending you to pronounce judgment. And God, through Ezekiel, gives us a message that still rings true today. In 2021, in our world, right here in the United States of America, right here in Tennessee, I have no doubt in my heart, in my mind, God is still looking and God is still seeking for people who will take some responsibility before Him and who will be honest before Him and say, I'm going to make up the hedge. I'll stand in the gap in my place. In Ripley, Tennessee, or in Gates, Tennessee, and around this area, I will stand in the gap. You say, well, Brother Ryan, man, it's difficult times, it's hard times, and people maybe not as receptive to the gospel as they are in other places. And look, we can come up with all kinds of excuses not to. Amen? But how about we just say, you know what? God's looking. And so I want to get involved. So point number one tonight is this. God is seeking. God is seeking. He's seeking for willing servants. He's seeking for people who will say, like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I get a couple people to help me. Brother Ferran, can you help me? Brother Bach, come help me. Brother Stark, can you come help me for a minute? Joshua, come help me for a minute, please, if you would. I want you guys to just, the three of you guys stand here, Brother Ferran and Brother Stark. Lock elbows together. Leave a hole right here. There you go. We like you and all, but stay over there. All right. Now, listen to me. This is the picture that God is saying. God is saying, I'm wanting to do something. And I'm using these men to help promote my gospel and reach people in Rwanda and in Ireland and right here in Tennessee. And I'm sending this brother and his wife to Sri Lanka. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Very good. I'll try to listen while they're talking. And he's sending this brother and his wife to Sri Lanka. But who's going to make up the gap between here and here? Who's going to stand in? God said, I'm looking for somebody else that will come up and will fill in these holes. We got people in Australia, and we got people in other places of Africa, and we got people in India, and we've got people in China, and we've got people in Canada, and we've got people in South America that need to be reached. But who's going to who's going to join arms with these fellows and say, now let's get in and let's get in with God and let's stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the work of God to go forward in this world so people don't go through the gap and fall into a devil's hell. Thank you, men. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's what God's saying. And God's seeking tonight. He's looking for people that'll see the need and say, here am I. Aren't you glad that God's a seeking God? I'm glad that when I was 20 years old, God came and knocked on my door and He said, I want you to preach. Now, when God first knocked on my door, I said, you know, Lord, I wasn't really expecting that. But I don't regret a day since then that I said yes. Amen. But God's seeking tonight, just like He was seeking in Israel's day. He's seeking tonight. And He's looking right here at Maranatha Baptist Church. He said, I'm seeking for someone who will make up the hedge and stand in the gap for the people of West Tennessee. Amen? Who's going to stand in the gap? People are getting through. People are passing by. And we're letting them go because we're not willing to lock arms and stand in before God and say, God, I'll take some responsibility for my generation. I'll stand up. I will get involved in your work. I'll be a soul winner. I'll be a willing servant. God is seeking for that. Hey, can I say this tonight? I'm going to put a little heat on us as men. I guess I already did. But I'm going to again. God's seeking for men that will lead spiritually. It's a sad, sad thing. In a lot of churches I've been in, I see young ladies coming up. They have an interest in serving God, but not always a lot of young men. Sometimes you see adult ladies come to church and they can't get their husband to come with them. And I think it's a strategic attack of the devil and his forces. I honestly do. I believe that. Listen, men, God wants us to lead. Not Lord. Lead. Lead by example. Amen. As a husband, I'm to lead my wife. I'm to help her spiritually when she needs help. I'm to try to help answer questions if she has questions. I'm to lead her. I'm to encourage her to keep seeking God, to pray, to help our daughter follow the right way of God. But I've got to set the example. Amen? I can't toss on my wife's shoulders my responsibility to lead my family. It's our job, men. Amen? To lead. You say, well, man, I sure hope my kids turn out right. Well, then lead them right. Teach them right. Train them right. The Bible talks about the importance of a father and the importance of training our children in the right way. Well, God has allowed us as men to set an example and teach them how to learn to listen to and to respect God and to honor God. And if we as dads and fathers and husbands aren't respectable, you understand what I'm saying? Respect worthy. We're not teaching our kids then to learn to follow God in the right way if we haven't taught them the right way to do it by example. And so it's important. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. They might present it to Himself a glorious church, having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that should be holy and without blemish. So ought men love their wives as their own bodies. Leading. We ought to lead in our homes. Hey, God's looking for men who will be servants in the church. Amen? He's seeking for that. It shouldn't be a problem. Amen? If Pastor Smart says, hey, we're having a work day, that the men show up and say, yeah, let's do it. Amen. Shouldn't be a problem. And God's looking for servants who will work in His work. God is looking for men that are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. I want you to mark your place here in Ezekiel and go to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. Read a passage of Scripture here. We'll come back to Ezekiel in a moment. But Acts chapter number 11. And verse number 20. Here's what it says. Acts chapter 11, verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Boy, and I still believe that God is willing to use men today that will follow that pattern and say, number one, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, isn't the Holy Spirit leading in that for the pastor? Yes. But it's also for the church member. Amen? You'll find as you read the book of Acts, not everything was done by the 12 apostles that started in Acts chapter number 1 at the end of the chapter. So you have men like Stephen, and you have some of these other men, and Barnabas comes on the scene later on, and men that are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. You read about some women in the book of Acts that were servants of God and willing to listen to God, willing to step up and say, I'll do what God wants me to do. Men and women both, and people being added to the body of Christ, people being born again through these men and women who yielded their hearts and their lives to the Holy Spirit of God, to the will of God, and had faith that God could do something through them. Amen. And this group of people went out and they reached people for Christ, and the word multiplied and people were saved and baptized and churches established. Why? All because Peter and John did it all? No. Because Paul did it all? No. I mean, Paul gets a lot of credit and he should. Because Barnabas did it all? No, but Barnabas had a part. But so did Luke the physician, and so did Lydia, and so did some of these others. Amen. And so did the Philippian jailer who, after he asked Paul and Silas, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So he went and gathered his household together and said, I want you to sit down and listen to what these men have to say. And God reached them through that jailer, through the testimony of the Apostle Paul. What a great thing. Everyday people, we don't know the jailer's name. We just call him the Philippian jailer. Who was he? Doesn't matter. There's a whole family full of people that are saved in heaven today and sure glad that he called them in and said, why don't you listen to this fellow named Paul and his buddy Silas. I just talked to him in jail. I got saved. You need to too. What a great thing. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, God is seeking for men that are full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And he's seeking for ladies tonight who will just yield their hearts to him and do that which he wants them to do. Reach people for Christ. I say this to you tonight quickly. God is sending. God's not always seeking. God's sending. You're here tonight, and this is Missions Conference. It's Monday night, and we're approaching the halfway point of this thing. And here we are, and there's missionaries. We already said it. They're going to Sri Lanka, and they're going to Ireland, and they're going to Rwanda. And God's called us just to help missionary families in general. And all kinds of outreaches, and you've got missionaries you support all over the world. And I haven't had a chance to look at all the flags, but I know that some of the flags correspond with missionaries that you support. Maybe all of them do, and they all do. So wonderful, wonderful. Praise God for that. But can I tell you this? God, we are reminded of it here tonight in Missions Conference, but I don't think God's done sending. Amen? God's been sending throughout the New Testament time since Jesus was here in Matthew chapter number 10. Go to Matthew chapter number 10. I want you to see something. Matthew chapter number 10. Jesus Christ has called his 12 disciples. And it gives us a listing of who he called. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1. The Bible says this. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Skip down to verse number 5. These 12 Jesus did what? Sent forth. and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Watch this. Freely ye have received, freely give. Well, that applies to us, doesn't it? We've received from the Lord. Amen. We've received salvation. We've received the grace of God. We've received the mercy of God. And God is then implying to us this. Take those things that you've received from me and go share it with somebody else. Amen. That's what Jesus is giving to his disciples by pattern in Matthew 10. Verse number 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But I want you to catch what Jesus is doing. He's sending. He's sending. And can I say this to you tonight? First of all, God's seeking. God's looked through the land. He sees there's problems. I don't think we have to go to the Lord every day and say, oh, dear God, our country's got problems. He understands that. Amen? I'm not saying don't pray for your country. Do pray for our country. Do pray for our country. The Bible commands us to do that. But don't just go to God and complain and complain and complain. Go to God and say, God, we need help. Lord, what can I do? Lord, what can I do? Be moved by the need. Amen? So God surveyed the need. God seeking for people who will volunteer. And then God is sending. I have no doubt. No doubt tonight. God is trying to send more people into His harvest. Jesus said to the disciples one chapter before this, the very end of the chapter, Matthew chapter number 9, I want you to look at it. Matthew chapter number 9, this is what he said in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. They estimate that there are more people alive on the face of the globe today than that there ever has been in any one day in human history. They estimate that. That being true, I think we can honestly gather from that, then the harvest is still great. Amen? The harvest is still great. Can I say this? The laborers are still few. Unfortunately. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that will send forth laborers. It's not that there cannot be a harvest reached. It's that there are people that need to go. Amen? I love what Brother Stark said at the beginning of his presentation. Cast out the seed. Cast out the seed. You don't know who all is going to receive it. Some will fall on stony ground, some on thorny ground, but some people will receive it. And it'll bear root downward, shoot forth upward, and bring forth fruit, some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. And God can do great things with His Word. And it's not ours to judge. Well, maybe that's good ground and maybe it's not. It's ours to sow the seed. Amen? It's ours to sow the seed. So God's sending. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Are you listening to God's calling? Are you listening for God's calling? Isaiah chapter 6, I referenced it just a little while ago. Let me read a couple of verses for you. If you want to turn there, it's fine. In verse number 5, familiar text, here's what the Bible says. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. This is what Isaiah is saying. After he heard the voice of the Lord and the voice of the angel of God, and he saw the glory of the Lord, it showed him how far short that he falls of the goodness of God and of the standard that God sets, the holiness of God. And can I tell you, when you and I get a vision of God, it'll humble us. Amen. It'll humble us. And that's what God's looking for. So Isaiah 6 verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Can I say this to us? We need to be clean before the Lord. Near verse 8, here's what it says. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Same idea as what he said for Ezekiel's day in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. I sought for a man among them that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. Isaiah sees the glory of God. He hears then the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And here's the response that God's looking for. Then said I, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. I think this honestly tonight. I think God doesn't want us just to complain about the situation. I think God wants us to say, okay, let's do something about it. Amen. Doesn't that drive you nuts when people, all they do is complain, but they don't offer any solutions? But aren't we sort of guilty of doing that with God sometimes? God, this is bad. God, that's bad. God, this is bad. God, that's bad. Why don't you do something, God? God, help us, God. And God says, why don't you do something? Why don't you do something? Why don't you? Amen. And here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Are you listening for the calling of God? Are you humble before God? Let me ask you this. Are you willing to be sent? Well, that's a tough question. That's where a lot of us, we throw on the emergency brake. Amen. I'm willing to go to church. I'm willing to sing. God, don't send me. I understand sometimes in our flesh it can be scary. Amen. God comes and knocks on your door. When I was a 20-year-old young man, we were in revival services. And all week long, God was dealing with me. It was like every night I was getting things right with God. And Tuesday night, God's dealing with me. And I went to the altar and got something right with God. I thought, this is good. I like this. And Wednesday night, I got something right with God. And Thursday night, God's speaking to my heart. And I'm growing all week long, revival meeting. And then by Sunday, I'm cranked up. I'm thinking, man, this is good. And Sunday night, the preacher gave his testimony about how God called him to preach and how the Holy Spirit just followed him around everywhere he went. He said, I didn't want to preach. He said, I ran from God for 6 months. And he said, the Holy Spirit of God, he said, there were times I got so bad under conviction that I would be at work. And he said, I'd have to go off to a private place and cry because I was so under conviction that I couldn't get away from the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, there'd be grown men looking at me like, what in the world is wrong with you? Because by that point, he was 19 or 20 years old, too. And he said, but I just kept hearing this voice of the Holy Spirit of God saying, that's what I want you to do. That's what I want you to do. And he would say, no, Lord, I don't want to preach. And he'd say, but that's what I want you to do. And he said, I couldn't get away from it. And he said, finally, 6 months later, I gave in and I yielded my heart to God. And God has used that man in a great way. And I'm sitting in a pew about where Brother Ferran's at. And all of a sudden, it was like the Holy Spirit moved in beside me and said, okay, all week long, you've been wanting to draw closer to me. Now, this is what I want you to do. And I did what a lot of people do. I was like, oh, no. And I sort of threw on the brakes. Time out. Lord, you know, Lord, I'm willing to teach Sunday school. Lord, I'm willing to help my pastor. Lord, I want to be a good, faithful church member. Preach. And God said, yeah. And I went to the altar and I prayed about it and I was broke up about it, but I wasn't really fully surrendered. I prayed to God about it and it took me about a month. And for a month, I'll just be honest with you, I struggled. I struggled because I had this thought in the back of my mind. I think God wants me to be a preacher and I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. And can I tell you, when you just put yourself in God's hand and say, okay, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. God will give you the ability to do what He's called you to do. He'll provide that. He will provide that. He will supply it. You say, well, what about the needs of my family? If I do what God tells me to do, if I step out by faith and maybe I have to leave my job and pursue ministry or some other thing and I have to make some different course in my life, How are we going to meet the needs? How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to do that? If God's big enough to save your soul and guide and direct all the things that He does and answer all the prayers that He answers hour by hour of every day, He's big enough to provide for every need you have. Matthew 6:33 still says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." One of the greatest words in all the Bible is all. God loves the whole world. Amen. God supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I feel I'm going to have to write another message. Amen. I feel one coming on. Amen. But I'm telling you what, it is a wonderful thing how God will take care of you. Just put yourself in His hand. Young men, I want to encourage you tonight. Don't be afraid to walk with God. Put yourself in His hand and say, "God, whatever you want me to do." Young ladies tonight, put yourself in God's hand and say, "Whatever you want me to do, I trust you'll take care of me. I trust you, God, and I'll go forward." Hey, adult men, don't be afraid to say, "Yeah, God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do." Because my God will supply all your needs. Because He's seeking and He's sending, but He hasn't quit supplying. He will supply. He will supply. I'm so thankful for that. He'll supply every need. He'll supply your ability. He'll supply the harvest. One more passage and we're done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Here's what the Bible says. Verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." What a wonderful God. What a wonderful God. God said to Ezekiel, "I sought for a man among them who would make up the hedge and stand in the gap." It's myself included tonight. I want to ask us all this question. Am I standing in the gap where God wants me to be? Have I answered the call by doing what He wants done? Am I willing to be sent where He wants me to go and do what He wants me to do? Trusting Him for the result. I hope that's your heart tonight. If it's not, I hope it will be. Each head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask Pastor Smart to go ahead and come on and conduct the invitation as he sees fit.
Mrs. Bach is coming to the piano. She's going to begin playing in just a moment. Invitation is simple because the message was clear. So Lord, working in your heart tonight, He's still seeking. There's no doubt about that. He's still sending. He's still calling. He's still sending. Are you afraid if He'll supply or not? No need to fear. No need to doubt Him now. He's proven over and over again, hasn't He? Is there something the Lord has worked in your heart tonight? Maybe a specific area. Maybe a specific area in this church. Maybe a specific area in another place. Can I read that last verse of Ezekiel 22 to us again tonight? He said, "Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their hearts, saith the Lord God." Why did that happen? Because He didn't find someone to stand in the gap. Brother Overfelt mentioned it many times. We can get angry about things in our nation, and we ought to. There ought to be a righteous indignation against sin. But what are we going to do about it? As Moses stood in the gap for his people, when he came off of that mountain and God was ready just to consume the whole nation, and Moses fell on his face and prayed for his people that stood in the gap for them, that has to be us. In the year 2021, 2022, however long the Lord gives us, that has to be us. As Brother Ryan said, in our generation, that has to be us. I don't want God to consume America. We sure deserve it. But I don't want Him to consume America. And if I don't, then I need to stand in the gap. I need to make up the hedge. Young person tonight, don't ever be scared. Don't ever fear serving God. Young adult tonight, don't ever fear serving God. Senior saint tonight, don't ever fear serving God. Amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I think we can all say together it's been good to be in God's house tonight. I'm so grateful for that. Thank you, Brother Overfelt. Thank you for allowing God to speak and work through you tonight. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed and look forward to seeing you back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And looking forward to what God's going to have for us tomorrow night, the presentation, the preaching we'll see and hear tomorrow night. And so come back with an expectant heart tomorrow night. Let's pray. And be dismissed. Ask the Lord to give us a good night, a good day tomorrow. Brother Roma, would you dismiss us tonight, please, sir?